It's City Desk. News and views from City Hall Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs and Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Good morning, Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We're recording this program Wednesday, November 21st at 9:43 in the morning. We're a day early because municipal offices in Biloxi will be closed Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. Joining me, as always, is Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi. Good morning, Cecilia. Tell people where we are and who our special guest is.
Good morning. Well, like I said, we're recording this on Wednesday. We are at Biloxi City Hall. We are actually in the Chief Administrative Officer's office, Mike Leonard, and he is going to join us today as our guest.
Mike Leonard, I got to start off right at the top, man. There was like a symphony of vehicles on the new part of Howard Avenue yesterday between Raynor and Lemieux. What was the deal with that?
Well, we have a parking plan for how the car is going to be aligned, both the diagonal parking and parallel parking, and you know, everything looks nice on a drawing, but if we had the opportunity to actually test it out before we're actually striping putting the stripes down and everything else. So we gathered about 30 cars, a fire truck, some other pickup trucks, parked them all around and just tested to see just would there be enough room for the vehicles to move around on the new Howard Avenue. In many ways, it's been described as similar to Washington Street in Ocean Springs, or Government Street in Ocean Springs. And I was a little nervous about that because you can't drive down Government Street on a Saturday morning without finding a little glass in the street from somebody's side view mirror that got knocked off. And I really didn't want to repeat that. So I'm hoping we're not repeating, trying to prove that we were not repeating Government Street.
Now, I don't know. It looked to me like your initial reaction when you got down there and saw all the SUVs and the cars, and I say all, I guess it was about a dozen and a half. You seemed to be surprised at how much space there was on that road.
Yeah, you know, particularly in the block between Raynor and George Orr, there it's a little wider, and that's where the diagonal parking is. Mm-hmm. But we get up in the next block, and then that's between George Orr and Lemieux. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tight. And we saw that, obviously, we can't get a fire truck down that while somebody's going the opposite direction. We'll have to, in some cases, you know, stop traffic in order for a fire truck to go back up. Mm-hmm. So it's not a design that an engineer would like. Engineers like 12-foot lanes. Mm-hmm. These are 9-foot lanes. So it will slow people down. It's going to be, you know, you'll slow down and hunt for a place to park in the park, and you'll have to be careful that you're parked up against the curb and so forth. So it's going to be tight, but the planners and the experts in urban planning tell us that that's what we're trying to do downtown, is to slow people down and get them involved in what they're driving by.
You know, by the way, speaking of that, one of the engineers who was working on Pops Ferry Road just here recently, when we did the part between Cedar Lake and the D'Iberville line, he said that one of the reasons that they put a median in there was just that reason, to slow traffic down, because the roadway was as wide as it is on the interstate, the lanes. And he said when you have wider lanes like that, people tend to go faster. Has that been your experience?
I think that's true. We just didn't want to get too narrow where we have problems with cars sideswiping each other and so forth, and issues with emergency vehicles. Mm-hmm. But now you see the other exciting thing going on within blocks of that is that they're piecing together the walkway across at the MGM Park. You can see the little erector set being pieced together now, and it will, and for very soon all those pieces will be in one large bridge, and mm-hmm. that bridge is going to be lifted into place. And meanwhile, two blocks further down, right at the harbor, you see all the work going on to build the foundation for the next boardwalk that will go across, mm-hmm. pedestrian walkway that'll go across at the harbor.
It seems like an exciting time because that's going to be coming in right where those two new hotels, I'm thinking January and February, Jerry Creel has told us on when they are going to be looking to open their doors. Alas, they're not taking reservations yet. I wish they were, because to me that would bring some finality to the next step. You've got, speaking of bridges, you've got another bridge that's been taking a lot of your attention.
Well, bridges in general, as a segue, the governor just announced a new program called the Mississippi Department of Transportation Road and Bridge Repair Fund. And there's a gobs of money that the legislature has assigned. And we've just been informed we've got till December the 14th to submit repair packages, project packages on bridges that qualify for repair because of their condition. And we've got three in the city, one of which is well known, that's the Cedar Lake Bridge. We have a project already designed, ready to go, to repair the bridge and make it mechanically sound again. But there are two other smaller bridges, one on Old Highway 67, just near the intersection with the Cedar Lake Road, which is also classified as unsafe and needing repair. And we have a bridge, you'd never notice it was a bridge, on Porter Avenue, right just by Division Street. It is also in that same category. So we'll be submitting on all three of those in December to try and get money to repair them.
People don't realize that. You make a good point. When you're driving on Back Bay Boulevard, there are three bridges there. And I think the one you're talking about is the one that runs behind the current Desport Seafood, which is that big drainage canal for what, all of Keesler?
That's right. And the one you're referring to back on Bayview, there's a bridge there that actually it's designed already through the state aid program and scheduled to go out to bid just any minute. So
that's the one that goes north to Monroe Petroleum, I believe, right? That one over there, is that the one you're talking about?
We're talking about the one that's on Back Bay that supports some of those seafood industry packing plants.
Yeah, that means we got four bridges back there. Yeah. Now, by the way, on the road bond the public works bond that we talked about the other day that was approved by the city council, one of the things that y'all were going to be doing is you mentioned the ratings for the bridges. You've essentially got ratings for pretty much most of the streets in Biloxi.
Well, you do. And let me give you a feedback on where we stand on the bond. The council approved us to a notice of intent to issue a bond. They approved us and putting out a notice to the public that we intend to do a bond. In the meantime, we've gone to the Mississippi Development Bank and we've pitched that to the bank. The bank has given us the okay to proceed with putting our deal together. So now, between now and January, We'll put all the details together about how, what the number on the bond, mm-hmm. what's the interest rate on the bond, who's going to sell the bond, who's going to be the bond counsel, who's going to be the financial advisor on the bond, all of these details. The cost of issuance will be nailed down. We'll be back with the Mississippi Development Bank in January, and assuming approval, our bonds would be sold, and we'd have the money to begin work in mid-February.
Mm-hmm. Which I'll bet is still pretty ambitious, isn't it?
Well, all these little details, mm-hmm. you have to hit each little checkpoint. You miss a meeting with the development bank, then you lose a month. We can't afford to lose a month because we've got projects like the Pops Ferry Bridge, mm-hmm. the new Pops Ferry Bridge that will be a reality by, we think, 2021, 2022, somewhere along in there. But we've got to acquire property and do environmental impact assessments and finish the design. We've got the Pops Ferry extension where we're acquiring property as we speak, and both of those are 80-20 matches with the state. So our 20% is wrapped up in that bond. Mm-hmm. So there's some big long term projects that we have to keep up, like shoveling the coal in the engine and keep it moving forward.
Or as you aptly said the other day, last year we said happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the things are happening. I mean, it's not, the bridge is not coming up out of the water at this point, but there's all the behind the scenes things, even on Division Street, rework of the boulevard that we're going to have going from I-110 all the way into the Keesler mm-hmm. Gate. We're in the business of acquiring property and completing the design, and those are all things that are just ongoing. When are we going to actually do that job? Well, it depends on when we get the bond money and when all the properties are acquired. But certainly by 2020, that four-lane boulevard
gateway
will be on its way into the gate. And the new gate. If you see the work going on behind the gate, inside the base and all the way to Larcher, the main road into Keesler, mm-hmm. they're moving ahead very quickly with that part of the project.
It's a lot easier when they own all the property, isn't it? You don't have to get right away or anything else.
Yeah, it's all Air Force property.
Now, we also have to mention something else, that we're going to have a big visitor in town on Monday, And Monday afternoon, President Donald J. Trump is scheduled to appear at the Coast Coliseum. He's going to be stumping, actually, for U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde Smith. And this is going to be on the eve of her runoff with challenger Mike Espy. Gates at the Coliseum are scheduled to open at 5:00 on Monday. And for anyone who's planning on attending this event, you have to go on the city's website right now, and there's a story about it, and there's a link in there that you have to click on to reserve or register for your tickets, which are going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. Last time in January of 2016, when then-candidate Donald J. Trump appeared at the Coast Coliseum, he attracted an audience of 13,000. So come Monday, you can expect to see maybe some detours in town, maybe some slow-moving traffic, and the Coliseum, from what I understand, it's not going to start allowing people into the grounds until Monday morning. I think they said at 8:00. But the key thing is the doors to the Coliseum do not open until 5:00. And of course, keep in mind, you're going to want to know that there's going to be a high level of security there. So don't bring pocket knives or backpacks or weapons of any kind, really, because it's just going to slow everything down, the screening process.
But you may want to make sure you have a photo ID.
Yes, and yeah, just you know, take your time if you're going to the event. If you're going to be driving around in West Biloxi, take your time. And it's a big deal for the city anytime the president comes to town. And we kind of got used to that, would you say, Cecilia, a little bit after Hurricane Katrina?
We did, and I didn't really participate in much of that. I did hear about a lot when we had... the president.
This was when she was in exile, I think, over at the Natatorium. And then after that, you came over to City Hall and Human Resources, then the mayor's receptionist. And then you finally found your true calling, your true fate in life, to join us in the public affairs office.
True. That's something that I've always wanted to do. I went to school to get an education in public affairs, and I'm very honored to be working in this building.
And now you're really getting an education. What's happening this weekend?
Well, we have Thanksgiving. That is tomorrow. I just want to remind everybody about fire safety. Biloxi firefighters want everyone, all residents, to remember to keep fire safety in mind. As the chief of fire prevention says, fire safety saves lives, and it really does, because there's going to be a lot of cooking, and even with the cold weather, there's going to be a lot of heating with heaters. So keep that in mind. Don't leave any portable heaters, any stoves or ovens or any cooking product, any cooking equipment unattended.
She's got a pretty cool story on the city website. And what she did was she has some statistics. Well, number one, some tips from the Biloxi Fire Department, common sense things that you get in a rush and you might not think about. But the likelihood of a fire on Thanksgiving Day is 4 times greater than any other day of the year. So if there's going to be a fire, and you've got a 4 times greater chance on Thanksgiving Day.
And cooking fires are one of the leading causes of home fires. So
cooking fires, fires that start in the kitchen. So anyway, yeah, we want to call everyone's attention to that so that they do have a very safe and fun Thanksgiving holiday.
And also the Harrison County Utility Authority, the company that is responsible for the garbage, trash, and recycling pickup, will not be running any routes on Thanksgiving Day. So no trash, garbage, or recycling pickup on Thanksgiving Day, but they will resume their schedule on Friday, but that will be their Thursday schedule, so they'll be running a day behind on Friday and Saturday.
That's the simplest way. We're going to have garbage pickup on Saturday. There was a big uproar, Mike Leonard, whenever we went to one day a week, and I really don't know what the hullabaloo was about.
It's down to a whimper now.
I love it. You also, Cecilia and I were thinking about calling you Houdini earlier this year because you announced that garbage cans were going to be disappearing in Biloxi, and darned if that's not happening.
That's right. Well, the cans now have chips on them, so we know where the cans are supposed to be. So little bit by little bit, if we find that there are people that have cans that they do not have an account or not paying for the cans, we pick them up. In other cases, when the cans were put out originally, they were put out according to the plan that the previous contractor had provided the new contractor. So in many cases, cans were put in at empty lots. Cans were put on vacant houses, and so a little bit by little bit, we've been trying to pick those up as well. So
Yeah, which is good for everybody because the city has that bill, and that keeps a close track on that. Anything else you wanted to say about anything?
I heard somebody asked me the other day, when does the Christmas season start? You know, we're putting all those Christmas decorations out and so forth and so on. But the real answer to when the holiday season, the Christmas season starts, it starts when you wake up from your nap after Thanksgiving dinner.
You bring up a very good point. Again, please remember that the areas in West Biloxi, particularly around our commercial giant, Edgewater Mall. We're talking about Eisenhower. We're talking about Highway 90. We're talking about Pass Road. Those areas are going to be congested with slow-moving traffic on Friday. So please be patient and enjoy the spirit of the day and the season. Yes, ma'am, wrap us up.
And don't forget about the small businesses Saturday, a small business Saturday. So don't forget about small businesses, especially in the downtown Biloxi area, to go out and shop and look for some Christmas items. And as always, all of our information is online on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
You want to go there right now because we got some Christmas on the water stuff. Christmas on the water is coming up. So look at that schedule and see what's happening there.
You've been listening to City Desk News and Views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. From all of us to all of you, a very safe, blessed, and happy Thanksgiving. This is William Sackett speaking.